States Interregional Transmission Efforts Examined, written by John Crop Lee, and read by an automated voice. Advocates for interregional transmission should focus more on allocation of benefits than on allocation of costs, a researcher said during an ACORE webinar. This, along with identifying the constituency for a project and the regulatory gaps that would thwart it, would help advance the long-standing goal of building more wires to move electricity across state lines and RTO/ISO boundaries, said Abe Silverman, who is facilitating a 9-state collaborative to advance interregional transmission. The American Council on Renewable Energy hosted Powering Progress, States Leading on Transmission Collaboration on August 19 to look at the outcome of past multi-state collaborations and at the ongoing efforts toward further collaboration. ACORE's Kevin O'Rourke was joined by Silverman, an assistant research scholar with the Ralph O'Connor Sustainable Energy Institute at Johns Hopkins University, Anya Poplavska, senior policy advocate at the Acadia Center, and Beth Soholt, executive director of the Clean Grid Alliance. Soholt spoke of COOP's 2020, the successful $2.1 billion effort by 11 utilities to build nearly 800 miles, 345 and 230 kilovolts transmission lines across Minnesota and into three neighboring states. There was a long process of lining up internal and external support, financing, regulatory approval and community acceptance, she said, as well as the challenge of shaping a disparate group of cooperatives, municipal utilities and investor-owned utilities into a coalition of the willing with a consensus on a common goal. It's a lot easier to kill a project, it's a lot more difficult to make it happen, Soholt said. And this group did come together and make it happen. Poplavska spoke about the Northeast Grid Planning Forum, convened by the Acadia Center and NERGICA to lay the groundwork for collaboration to meet what is projected to be a 100% increase in power demand over the next quarter century, and to loop in neighboring parts of Canada, which has a deep and long-standing infrastructure connection with the U.S. Northeast. There is only piecemeal and fragmented decision-making now, she said. And the forum is really born of the synergies between Canada and the northeastern states. The whole point of it is to really create a framework across these different regions that facilitates planning, coordination, and decision-making. Accentuate the benefits. Poplavska identified three steps in the process: identification of needs, design and selection of projects, and, most difficult of all, allocation of costs. Are costs going to be borne across different regions? She said. I don't think it's a stretch to say that this is a huge limitation and reason that interregional projects just don't get pursued as much. A potential best practice, Poplavska added, would be to move beyond a strict one-to-one benefit-cost ratio on cost allocation and allow states to voluntarily cover additional costs that contribute to meeting their policy goals. Cost allocation is a bit of a red herring, Silverman said. Because what we really need to talk about is benefits allocation. Because all these projects have such enormous net benefits that if we really get hung up on how we're allocating the costs without taking into consideration the benefits, we end up having sort of a circular conversation that we very rarely get anywhere. It is a very different discussion, he added, to go to the governors of three states and say we have $1 billion of benefits we have to allocate between the states rather than we have $500 million of costs that we need to allocate. Silverman is facilitator of the Northeast States Collaborative on Interregional Transmission, an effort that spans 9 states from Maine to Maryland served by 3 grid operators. The states entered a Memorandum of Understanding in 2024 to accelerate the siting and permitting of regional and interregional transmission. All signs point to the benefits of regionalization, Silverman said, and it serves the competing visions of decarbonization and fossil fuel-based energy dominance. There's probably 20 high-quality studies all showing enormous consumer benefits if we get interregional transmission right, he said. And that's everything from faster deployment of data centers and clean energy and economic development in our states. It's also often lowering costs for consumers, and it's certainly improving reliability. Silverman added, but what we sort of have encountered is that there is a regulatory gap between the benefits and the people who see the benefits and the people doing the grid planning. He said the value of the collaborative he is working with and the forum Poplavska is working with is that they create the constituency that can advocate for those gaps to be closed and allow these types of projects to move forward. If all we needed was another study talking about how beneficial interregional transmission was, we'll just keep writing those studies forever, Silverman said.